This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Joe Biden, whom VOA has projected to win the U.S. presidential election, said Tuesday he's not worried about President Donald Trump's refusal to concede after last week's election, but he thinks it is an embarrassment for Trump and the country. Biden said, "I think it will not help the president's legacy." Biden spoke to reporters Tuesday in Wilmington, Delaware, where he and his team are working on his first steps after his expected inauguration on January 20th. Mr. Trump, in trying to contest the election results, has kept his administration's officials from cooperating with Biden's representatives to arrange a transition of power. The General Services Administration, a U.S. government agency, has refused to certify Biden's presumptive victory. That is keeping Biden officials from taking over office space in federal agencies, being assigned government email addresses, and receiving federal money to fund the transition. Mr. Biden also has yet to begin receiving the presidential daily brief, a daily update on U.S. intelligence findings from around the world. He told reporters, "We can get through without the funding," and said the daily briefing would be useful but not essential at present, as he is not yet the sitting president. Asked what he would tell Mr. Trump if the president were watching the news conference, Mr. Biden smiled and said, "Mr. President, I look forward to speaking with you." Another top U.S. Pentagon official is leaving his post a day after the termination of Defense Secretary Mark Esper. In his resignation letter to U.S. President Trump, Acting Undersecretary of Defense for Policy James Anderson listed some of his achievements and said it had been an honor to serve. On Monday, Mr. Trump announced via Twitter that he had fired the Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who had been expected to serve through the transition period between now and President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. VOA News. The United States is calling for a transparent and inclusive World Health Organization leading international investigation into the origin of the pandemic, criticizing its current terms. This follows the WHO announcing its investigation team on Tuesday. The Trump administration has accused the WHO of being China-centric and of being China's puppet. The organization has denied that accusation. The virus is believed to have emerged in the Chinese city of Wuhan late last year, possibly from bats at a market with live animals. And, of course, this story refers to the coronavirus pandemic that causes COVID-19. More clashes broke out over Ivory Coast President Alassane Ouattara's re-election on Tuesday as West African nations and France called for dialogue to end tensions over his contested third term. The West African nation is mired in a dispute after opposition leaders boycotted the October 31st election, which resulted in Ouattara getting more than 94% of the vote. The opposition accuses him of breaching the two-term limit for the presidency. The tensions have revived memories of disputed elections in 2010 that unleashed a brief civil war in the West African country that claimed about 3,000 lives. The UN Refugee Agency said Tuesday that more than 8,000 Ivorians have fled to neighboring countries fearing violence. The head of Peru's Congress, Manuel Merino, was sworn in as the Andean nation's president on Tuesday and vowed that elections set for April would stand after lawmakers removed Martin Vizcarra on corruption charges. Merino, a businessman and member of the center-right Popular Action Party, will serve as interim president until July. In a speech after the swearing-in ceremony, Merino, who is 59, sought to temper widespread concerns of pending political chaos. He promised an orderly transition and elections. Merino's ascension to the presidency came after Peru's opposition-led Congress voted overwhelmingly to oust the centrist Vizcarra late on Monday after an impeachment trial over allegations of bribery. Jordan ended voting on Tuesday in elections that were expected to keep parliament in the hands of tribal and pro-government factions. Officials said turnout among the 4.64 million eligible to vote was 29.88%. It was the lowest participation rate in recent memory. The poll coincides with deep public discontent as Jordan grapples with an economic crisis and unemployment and poverty aggravated by a surge in the COVID-19 pandemic. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. From Washington, this is VOA News.